Hello, everybody out there in podcast land. Don't laugh at me. You're listening to Unseen Footage. I am David Armstrong. With me is Claire Yale. Claire, how are you?
I am good. Thank you.
We are here on it's a rainy Sunday night.
It is Friday.
It is Friday. Oh, my gosh.
Thank goodness it's Friday.
I don't even know. I don't even know what day it is anymore.
TGIF.
TGIF. And TGI...
US.
Unseen Footage. Yeah, there we go. We are discussing the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
This is our like double feature kind of episode. We're going to discuss the very first movie that came out in 1994 starring...
That was a good year.
It was a good year for
the
movies.
The Olympics?
The Olympics? Oh,
the
you're
dream
just
team?
You
just
mean
in
general.
I have such like vivid memories of 1994 and I don't know why.
But the Dream Team, that's
true. But the Dream Team.
I know that. That's like one of the few sports references I know.
Dominique Moceanu.
Yes. I don't know who that is.
Carrie Strug.
Oh, Carrie Strug.
She
does the ankle
ankle
thing. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. I do remember that.
Maybe it was just a good Olympics, not just a good year in general.
Maybe. But any year with the Olympics is a fun year. We're discussing Dumb and Dumber. So it was a good year for comedies. The 90s were an interesting time for comedies. Overall, just in general, like I want to say that like this movie is representative of the kind of movies, the kind of comedies that were being made in the 90s.
Yeah.
A weird character, a kind of despicable character. Dealing with the world that is normal,
right?
And now it's kind of shifted. We deal more with an ensemble of characters who are relatively normal, somewhat neurotic,
mm-hmm.
and they're dealing with an unfair world, almost
right.
a ridiculous, absurd world, or they take it into absurd.
That's a good point. I didn't
yeah.
think about that.
So it's shifted. So I think one of the things that I'm worried about, and I know we'll talk about it later, but like Dumb and Dumber 2, I feel like won't change much of its formula to work in that mindset now.
Oh, that's interesting.
So yeah, so I think it's just it's 20 years. Like there's
right.
a 20 year difference between
right.
first Dumb and Dumber and now this one.
Yeah, you got to do something different.
You got to change with the times at least, you know, or something.
Keep up with the times.
Keep up with the times. So let's talk about it. Let's just dive right in. What did you overall think of this movie? I know we kind of cheated with this one a little bit. You've seen this movie relatively recently,
right?
But it wasn't the first time watching it for this podcast.
Yeah. I saw this maybe 3 years ago now.
Okay.
And I actually didn't remember very much.
Oh, good.
I think the first time I saw it, this goes to some mutual friends that David and I have,
yeah.
that you and I have, but I felt a little bit of pressure watching it because I watched it with a group of comedians who were all... The viewing happened because I'd never seen it. It was like
yes.
so shocking that I'd never seen Dumb and Dumber that we put on this showing. So I feel like I was maybe feeling a little bit like anxious about it or
yeah.
just like too much pressure to really like it, to really remember very much of it.
Right. And it's hard to watch things in that context when the people you are watching it with have such reverence
right.
for the material.
Yeah.
I think it's why like this is a little behind the scenes, but I don't watch the movie with Claire because I feel like if I do I'm a terrible person to watch movies that I've already seen with because I'm like ooh like I like to watch people's reactions
uh-huh.
I tend to laugh two lines before the actual line the laugh line so I'm not a good person to watch movies with and I don't want it to like influence Claire's thoughts on the movies so how did you feel about this?
So my main thoughts about this movie is that I am so glad that this movie was funny, basically.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I've said this before in, I think it was Labyrinth, but this is like the classic kind of movie that I would hate.
That's true. Oh, yeah. It's a road trip.
It's a road trip movie. And I
true.
Hate road trip movies.
That's so funny.
And
yeah,
I found
that's right.
myself in moments of this going like, oh, man. You know, like, the thing I realize, too, what I don't like about road trip movies,
mm-hmm.
and it's that you're not really able, because you know that the plot is to get from point A to point B, I don't feel like the journey is forwarding the plot.
Mm, okay.
We're just taking these little sidesteps that I feel like solve the problem and keep going. I don't know why
right.
this has to be so difficult.
Yeah. Yes.
So
I see what you're saying.
There are elements of that. Like, I think that the second half, once we get to Aspen, is so much more interesting.
Yeah.
In general. And like before we leave, there's some
some great parts before we leave too.
Before we leave. But in general, like when people are on the road, I'm like, you know, like just get there.
I feel like really there on the road for this movie specifically, I feel like there's only one really big set piece that they have, which is the diner where they kill the guy. Yeah.
Wait. Right. Yeah. I thought you meant the other diner.
Oh, right. Yeah. That one. Yeah, kind of.
Right.
But that one is that one's an interesting one too.
Yeah.
So okay, so that's why road trip movies. Yeah, I could see the point that you're making, like they don't seem to have like cumulative value of anything. There's nothing ultimately that they learn on the road trip or that happens to them on the road trip that affects what happens when they get to the destination.
Yes.
Which I mean is kind of true in this movie too, mm-hmm. but I feel like they handled it more enjoyably than a lot of movies.
They do. And it's really funny.
Yes.
It's a really funny movie, which is to its credit and helps the road trip aspect a lot.
Yeah.
They also have, I mean, maybe other road trip movies have this and I just don't watch them, but there's like that moment where Harry is really pissed at Lloyd because he's driven the wrong way for 3 hours.
Yes.
Or 6 hours or 12 hours or something. Yeah,
some ridiculous amount.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like that kind of forwards their relationship. Like, maybe they've never been in this kind of fight before. They're both, like, at their wit's end.
Right.
But then he forgets about it when he rolls up with that little bike.
He doesn't forget about it. He totally redeems himself. Is in a great moment. Great little Jeff Daniels moment. Who plays Harry? Jeff Daniels. He starts to sounds like he's berating Jim Carrey, and then says, "You totally redeem yourself."
Right.
They trade in that giant van, the dog van, for a tiny little motor scooter.
Right.
That takes them the rest of the way to Aspen.
in a
very absurd final montage of things
of travel.
Jeff Daniels, that was one of my favorite parts, is he's like, I have to pull over, I have to pee, and Jim Carrey just goes, just go, man. Like,
why
would that be an option?
Right. They're just not go, freezing yet. Oh, they are kind of freezing, I guess
a little bit, but they like have just started the journey, or you know, whatever,
right?
So I don't know. But I still laughed at that.
Yeah. What did you think about this when you were young?
I'm gonna be honest. I did enjoy it a lot. I liked it as a kid growing up. But I don't remember when I first saw it. But I know that by that point, like, Jim Carrey was one of my favorite comic actors by that point. But this movie, I know a lot of people love it. We've talked about how a bunch of our friends love it, and a lot of my friends, that this is their favorite Jim Carrey movie.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, like, I find Ace Ventura to be a better movie. I like Liar Liar a lot better. I like The Mask somewhat better than this. I think The Mask, more interesting character to me.
Haven't seen it.
It's about a mask. But yeah, so it was good for what it was. This might have been, to watch it for this podcast, might have been the first time I've seen it since I was a kid, probably.
Oh, really? Wow.
Probably, yeah. I remembered a lot of the things and all the lines and everything, but it wasn't, it didn't affect me as much as other movies, other comic movies.
I'm not super familiar with Jim Carrey's work from this era.
Mm-hmm.
I did see Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls.
Yeah,
which is one
sequel.
Of my favorite comedic movies. It's so funny.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And I will still quote it in my head all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm not very familiar with a lot of his works. I think I saw Liar Liar too.
Uh-huh.
That was a nice family values one.
Yeah.
So I was allowed to see that.
That was when the era started shifting, I feel like, a little bit.
Right.
It was still an absurd, like, central character. It's just Jim Carrey doing crazy stuff.
Right.
But at that point, he has to kind of learn a lesson from it. And that's the problem with, like, a lot of the characters from the 90s, not just Jim Carrey, but, like, these characters don't learn anything.
Yeah.
You know, Dumb and Dumber, ultimately, they are not any better than they were when they started.
Right.
The journey, you know?
Yeah.
So, and in fact, I would say, I don't know if you agree with this, I found Jim Carrey, like, you realize his character, Lloyd, kind of, like, he's dumb. They're both dumb, but he's kind of the more malevolent one, like, more evil. in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's just dumber.
Yeah.
And he's also more emotionally driven than Harry is. And I think that those two things together lend him towards that malevolence.
But I don't think so. I don't think that, like, is he aware of the things that he does? Because, like I feel like when he gives the great scene, one of my favorite scenes is he gives the parakeet, the dead decapitated parakeet to a blind kid who is their neighbor.
Right.
And great cutaway. The kid's stroking the parakeet. Doesn't, you know, good birdie. I don't know. But
that's so funny.
But he, like, doesn't seem to see anything wrong with that.
Right.
But, like, Jeff Daniels' character does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, maybe not intentionally evil, but I feel like he's, like, I don't know why he's written as, like, the darker.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. You know what I felt throughout, though? I think he's just better written.
Oh, okay.
Because he
interesting.
Is, even though it's Dumb and Dumber, I feel like it's his story. There, he's why they're going out there.
Yes.
And he feels more fully developed than Harry's character.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, because it is his story.
Mm-hmm.
And he's emotionally driven and it's character driven and it's his character that's driving it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see that. And yeah, Harry's kind of just along for the ride.
Yeah. Which I felt like watching it, I was wondering what you thought about this. Do you think that Jeff Daniels was a good cast for this role?
I don't know.
I don't.
Nobody's ever asked me that. Nobody's ever asked me that.
I have nothing against Jeff Daniels.
Of course.
I like it. I think he's a very respectable actor.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Great on the newsroom.
Great on the newsroom. Sorkin.
Sorkin wrote for him. Yep.
So, you know, that's good.
That helps. Yeah, I guess part of it being like everybody has such a reverence for it, it's kind of not talked about. Did it really work? I guess I don't know. I don't know if you could have like two like mega personalities though.
That's true.
Like what if could you have like essentially another Jim Carrey
right.
doing the other role?
Yeah.
Like what would they do? I mean, maybe it would be a different movie.
Yeah.
You know, entirely it'd be something else, but I don't know. I feel like it was a complemented Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
It is a really challenging idea that like we're going to make this super absurd character and then we need to have someone that kind of centers him on like real life and grounds him in a way but is also absurd.
Right. Well, like, I mean, like, that's the title of the movie. Like
right.
Jeff Daniels is dumb and then Jim Carrey is dumber.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
So I guess, I don't know. But yeah, it's tough because the movie doesn't have a heart. Like, it doesn't have a heart character to center everybody. Because, like,
right.
Jeff Daniels is like, yeah, he's trying to center Jim Carrey, but I don't care about either character. They're both ridiculous.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, you know, like, I don't care when they're mad at each other
mm-hmm.
or fighting or anything.
But I feel like Jim Carrey has these moments that where it's interesting that you said that this isn't your favorite Jim Carrey movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I maybe just haven't, like I was going to say earlier, I guess, and I forgot, but I don't know if I haven't paid a lot of attention to Jim Carrey or what it is, but I was like kind of blown away by his acting ability in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Where, like, that first moment where he's looking out the window and Jeff Daniels is like, I'm not going with you to Aspen.
Mm,
and he turns around and he's crying and he's like, I just, I need somebody.
No, yeah.
I wrote his nobody speech. I'm tired of being nobody. I'm tired of meaning nothing to anybody. Like, he has all these really grounding, emotional, but like heartfelt moments where those are when I care about him.
Right.
Which I think are written in for that purpose, but it seems so natural for him to be an idiot and also to like come into it and be like, but this is my human emotion.
Yeah.
And I don't think with Daniels we get any of that.
Right.
It's just like, here's this guy who's sort of like a watered down version.
Right.
Of Lloyd.
Yeah, and he's just kind of dumb. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. They, I think I'm not what I wasn't. I wasn't saying that Jim Carrey. Like, it's not that I don't like Jim Carrey's performance in it. I just think I laugh more at other movies. I'm more entertained by other movies of him. But yeah, he is like a really phenomenal. He goes through a whole range of emotions and everything in this. And they pull another like kind of emotional turn in that. In the last part, in one of the last parts, he's talking to Mary, and he says, you know, what are the chances? Mary says one in a million, and you're watching his face.
Right.
And he's just like, he looks so sad, and then he's like, so you're saying there's a chance. Like, it's fantastic. Yeah. He pulls it off really well. And I think to your point, which is kind of funny, the fact that they have a moment like that for both Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey, and Jim Carrey kind of pulls it off better.
Yeah.
Is like, ooh.
Right.
Now I'm starting to see more glaring problems with Jeff Daniels in this role.
I just think, like, it felt early on like Jim Carrey belongs in this role and in this character.
Yes.
And it felt like Jeff Daniels was pushing for it.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, the more... oh gosh, I totally blanked on that word.
I know what you're saying though. So he's doing a manufactured kind of voice. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was looking for.
There we go. Got it. Nailed it. this is why there's two of us. yes. But yeah, he's putting on an affect. He's doing a voice. This is all kind of in the vein of what Jim Carrey does.
Right.
So it's in his wheelhouse, and he doesn't have a problem with anything. Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rationale was behind putting Jeff Daniels.
I also don't know who they would have chosen. I don't know much about 90s actors.
I don't know.
There was no one last night when I was like, who could have done this better?
Yeah.
That I really, no one jumped to my mind.
Yeah, I can't really think of anybody either who would have, no. Cause,
in that
I mean,
same
it
vein of like comedies like that.
Because it really was SNL. No, because it really was just kind of. I mean, it was just Jim Carrey, and then it was Jim Carrey and Robin Williams for the most part.
Yeah, that's true. And Robin Williams wouldn't have fit in it. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like it just would have been a strain. I don't know.
Right. I mean, this is right around the time of like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And his like family friendly side.
Right.
Not to say this movie isn't family friendly, but he was going in kind of a different direction.
Yeah.
Well, it's not super family friendly.
It's
not Mrs. Doubtfire.
Right. I wouldn't watch this with my family. Dumb and Dumber. I don't know.
I think I could watch this with my parents.
Okay. All right.
Not that I'm going to, but I think I could.
Would you watch it again? Were you entertained enough that you were like, oh, I'll watch it. I'll watch this movie again.
Yeah. I think in like years.
Okay.
I could watch it again. Mm-hmm. There's just so many golden nuggets.
Yeah.
That are so surprising and wonderful.
Yes. Like, there's a lot of great moments in it.
So many good moments.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a couple other ones. Did you have any like that you particularly loved?
I think my favorite one is when he goes, big gulps. Cool. Well, see ya.
Yeah.
It's so
I do like
funny,
that one. Yeah,
because it's just a non sequitur.
Yeah, it's just all his simple lines,
right?
Like that. Like the one at the beginning where he's talking to Mary in the car. He's like, "Why are you going to the airport? Flying somewhere?" And she's like, "How did you know?" Like, I don't know if she's being sincere or sarcastic
in that moment.
She's
being sarcastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Right.
It's so funny. Like the characters. The other characters who are like the straight man to the absurd characters sometimes, I feel like sometimes they're very thinly written, and sometimes I felt like she was, especially.
Right.
I felt like she suffered the most from it.
Yeah.
Because I felt like they were just trying to set, you know, they just get written to set up the jokes for the crazy characters.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, even the bad guys are like that. We never find out what the main bad guy who's like friends, family friends or whatever.
Yeah.
We never know his motivation, ever.
That's true.
They never say why he took this guy into custody or, like, kidnapped this guy.
That's a totally different movie.
Yeah, totally different movie.
Right. I also, like one of the disturbing, like, implications of the movie that they also gloss over is when they drop him back off, they drop off the husband,
mm-hmm.
and he gets out of the car, and he's, like, sore and hurt.
Right.
And, like, he was beaten during this time? Like, why?
Right, yes.
You can't beat your ransom victim. Like, no, you can't do that.
He also has no sign of injury. Like, his clothes are all intact.
Right.
Like,
it's as if he had been kept in a locker.
Yes, like, he's just cramped.
He's just sore. He's just cramped and sore. And, Yeah. All the guys looked very similar. Like, I got very confused. The husband got out of the car, and he looks like the bad guy you were talking about, played by Charles Rocket.
Right.
R.I.P. There was one other guy who looked really similar. Oh, Seabass. Seabass looks the same. Yeah. Just dirtier.
I mean, these are all just the 90s, like, regular dude.
Yeah.
They're so true. I even wrote that down, like, that the bad guy looks like such a 90s white dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they all just kind of look like that.
Yeah.
Like the, I guess, except for Seabass, like the upper, you know, upper class.
Right.
Clean cut.
Yeah.
White guy with flowing hair.
Yes. That's true. That is a very 90s look.
Yeah.
And Seabass has the 90s look of you're a villain.
Yes.
Like, just a bad guy.
Exactly.
And it's like, if he's wearing mostly denim and there's like more than two guys sitting at a table, that's a villain.
Yeah.
He's gonna be a villain later.
Right.
And
I also did not that we should talk about this for long, but I did not remember that, like, almost rape scene.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's like I think really unnecessary.
Yeah.
Why does that happen?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It was a way to bring Seabass back into it.
Right.
And to... This is the weird thing. And we don't have to talk about it too much. But you can see it in this movie. And I think I said it before once. Like, if you watch a lot of Adam Sandler movies, something about the 90s that happens a lot is that gay or the implication of homosexuality is a punchline.
Right. Yep.
And it still kind of is to this day, but in the 90s it was a very prevalent thing. Like, almost all of Jim Carrey's lines that aren't hilarious or non sequiturs, they're like implying that he's gay, or he's making fun of Harry for having some sort of homosexual tendency.
Right.
And you have and the punchline of Seabass, basically, of this character is, oh, he's gay.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a strange thing.
Right. I mean, that's so true, and that is absolutely the point of this moment. And
right.
I feel like they could have gotten that across without forcing Lloyd to, you know, almost be involved in this.
Yeah. Yeah. They,
like, all they had to do was open that door and you put together, like, oh,
right,
you know, Seabass is the gay punchline.
Right.
And then,
but it got really upsetting. I forgot how
really
long
dark.
It goes on.
Yeah.
He takes off his pants, and that's the next punchline, is he's wearing like a leopard print thong.
Right.
Or whatever. But it's like, he grabs his crotch, and it's like,
you know what's really funny is I watched this on Netflix.
Oh, did
and
they edit that
totally
out?
Totally edited this whole part out.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Well, it's been a while. I watched the unedited version, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not watch this movie with my parents.
Yeah, there you go. You have to watch that Netflix version.
I take it back.
Because, yeah, it gets to be a painfully long scene before Jeff Daniels saves him inadvertently.
Yeah.
And then, but then again, the punchline is, like, they are driving and Jim Carrey is like, basically, you know, I mean, not to make light of it, but he's a rape victim. He's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. And Jeff Daniels is making fun of him for it being a gay encounter.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, you're like truckers. Like, you know, and he's like,
not
so,
the fact that he is a victim.
Right.
Of
no. Yeah.
A crime.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the fact that he was in the bathroom. It's like, why was that trucker's pants down? Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So it's just a weird,
it's
weird
very
moment.
Weird.
But you will find, like, in a lot of 90s movies, a lot of 90s comedies.
You're right.
That's kind of a prevalent thing.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that until you just said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. So did you have another thing that you wanted to talk about, like, character-wise or anything else?
Yeah. I mean, the only other thing that that was kind of interesting to me, but was that other female role, which
okay.
I mentioned this, like, very briefly earlier.
Oh, yes. Okay.
This, the undercover detective lady.
Yeah, so ultimately she's the undercover FBI agent
right.
who's been following them.
Yeah, she's been following them.
But initially, she's presented as a kind of semi-hysterical, I mean, crazy woman.
Right,
she's crazy a crazy woman, right?
She's totally a crazy yeah. woman. But she's really attractive. She's obviously intelligent.
Right.
Like, there... Why is there not a way to present her as, like, other something else? I know that she's trying to get attention of these two idiot dudes.
Yes.
But, like, Mary is attractive and smart. So, like, why couldn't this other lady be attractive and smart also? Does
yeah.
she have a name?
I don't remember.
You know, the bad girl lady doesn't have a name.
Does she not?
She doesn't. There's Joe, and they never say her name.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's.
I was waiting to hear it because I was like, oh, two nameless 90s villains. And then I was like, oh, no, he's Joe.
Yeah. How inconsequential is this character that they right. didn't even bother to
right.
name her?
Yeah.
The FBI agent. I don't know. I think. I'm not sure what their reasoning was
yeah.
behind it. I think initially it. Because I think you're initially supposed to think of it as a one-off character.
Yeah.
You know,
and
like
then she comes back and back.
And then she comes back later. But initially she's presented as like intelligent, like you said, but like a lot of emotional baggage
mm-hmm.
from this relationship. She's like,
right.
I have to get away from my boyfriend. And immediately you're like, oh boy.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
that whole thing. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I mean, I guess, again, it's just a 90s trope of like this crazy lady.
Yes.
But I feel like by making her the undercover cop this whole time, they're able to like wash their hands of it and be like, nope, we didn't mean it. You
right.
know, like, just kidding. She's smart.
Yeah, we made it okay.
Like, right. Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
It's all right that we made fun of that woman stereotype because she's not really that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like when people do like a racist accent in like a movie and it's like, no, we're making fun of like older movies that
right.
used to have Asian stereotypes in them. And it's
yeah.
like, no, that's you know, one removed offense is it's still an offensive thing.
Right.
So
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. You just so like ultimately it's like this you didn't write an interesting character. You still wrote a kind of offensive character. Just
yeah.
a bland character, I guess.
Right.
Not offensive. But
yeah.
Yeah,
bland.
Yeah, just a bland character,
yeah.
and all possibly with no name.
Right, potentially no name.
Yeah,
undercover cop lady.
Undercover cop lady, possibly no name. I do like her moment where he gets shot. Harry gets shot by the villain, and he's like, "They gave me this bulletproof vest." And Jim Carrey's one who's like, "What if they shot you in the face?" And she's like, he turns to her and is like, what if they'd shot me in the face? And she says, that was a risk we're willing to take.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, good.
Yep.
Good for them.
That's how that goes.
That's true. Yeah. So that's them. That's
yeah.
the characters. That's Dumb and Dumber in a nutshell,
yeah.
really. It's a fun, it's an actually enjoyable road trip movie, according to Claire.
Right. The plot is like, meh, but... The movie itself is so funny.
Yeah. I mean, the plot's really just thrown together, like, these missing parts.
Right.
It's, like, all these different missing
yeah.
parts of it.
I mean, they just had, like, Jim Carrey's character, and then they just, like, put little Modge Podge
right.
around the rest
yeah.
for the rest
yeah.
of the film.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Would you say it's a happy ending as a comedy?
I would say it's a happy ending as a comedy.
Because
okay. I assume that these characters are, like, none the wiser... None the worse
yeah,
off.
No lessons
you know?
Learned.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean.
But he doesn't get the girl.
He was never going to get the girl.
No, he was never going to get the girl. That's true.
Yeah. But I'm so glad he doesn't get the girl. And I'm so glad that Jeff Daniels didn't get the girl either. Because you like
oh,
think
yeah.
that he's going to. And even in that matchup, I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way.
That's the only part that I'm like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
'Cause like I said, like my characterization of Jim Carrey's Lloyd is like, he's mostly the villainous one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and all of a sudden, like Jeff Daniels is like he swoops in and
right,
like is
yeah.
ready to take this girl away
mm-hmm.
from right under his best friend.
Right.
Like, it's so
yeah.
weird.
I think that needed a little bit more justification
mm-hmm.
where like, you know, he's getting swooped up in it, but a little bit more struggle
yeah.
or something where we understand a little bit sooner that he's doing this or he doesn't feel guilty because of their past.
Right. Like something comes happened. In later. Yes, exactly.
About the ex-girlfriend.
Right.
But I think we need to see that.
Yeah. Sooner. I think there needed to be more. Because he's so ready and willing to lie, and like deceive Lloyd so soon. It's just, it's a weird thing.
Right.
But anyway,
but yeah,
that's that. Did you have any WTF moments?
I had like just some, a little bit. Okay, where are they in the country that there's a family of Mexicans on the side of the road who need a ride?
Yeah, I mean,
they're traveling across the north. I mean, not to say that there's not a Mexican population.
No,
but not that are like hitchhiking illegally.
Yeah. And especially, like, yeah, you'd find it in, like, something closer to Mexico, right. I feel like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're arguably in, like, the northern Midwest.
Yeah.
They're, and like, it's just a family.
Bottom is, like, Nebraska. Like, that's the lowest they're going. Right. And it's a whole family. And they have, like, the straw hats.
Yeah, the guitar. I did like that they quickly changed the song that they were singing. They were singing that the song before, and then the family gets in and they change the yeah to see.
I didn't notice fantastic. That.
They're singing the what is it, Mockingbird song or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like mock, yeah, and then so later he's like mock see of the family. They quickly taught that song to them.
I say mock, you say see.
Yep.
Also, how I just can't believe how absurd it is that the shots of that dog car driving across the country, that I don't know why this has never occurred to me, but like the budget for those shots alone, taking like video of a huge dog,
right?
They had to get a plane,
yeah,
they had to get a boat,
right?
They had to get another plane,
they had to get those other cars that are on the road,
because
they're not just driving through regular traffic,
right?
Like they had to set up those shots,
yeah.
And yeah,
that felt especially absurd.
My favorite line of that makes it even more absurd, which I was hoping you would mention, but I'm gonna bring it up because the FBI agents or whatever, they're like tracking them, and they're like, do we have a vehicle? And the one agent's like, yeah, it's a 1984 German Shepherd or whatever, sheepdog.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yes, it's a dog. How do they know that it's 1984?
Right.
Like, how do they know the year? How do they know the year make?
Yes.
That's weird.
Where did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, so
it's
ridiculous.
It's not on the body of the car anywhere.
No, because that's not the name of the car.
Right.
That's just the breed of dog that it's covered in.
Yes.
So that's that. Any more?
Oh gosh. Harry at one, not Harry, Lloyd at one point, when they're like standing around the fire, he's got two pairs of gloves and he's like all bundled up, except at the beginning of the journey, he thinks they're going to sunny California.
Oh yeah. They never explain.
When did he get gloves?
They never explain that he learned that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's like something that's like glossed over.
Right. And he says something
California.
Like, got it.
Yeah.
He says something like, we're going to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Like, how did you know that? Yeah. You don't know how to read.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's another funny scene, too.
Yeah.
When he learns to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah.
That's Dumb and Dumber, guys.
Yeah.
So we are going to break right here, and we're gonna go watch Dumb and Dumber 2, which I'm so scared about.
Yeah.
But we're going to come back and talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Stay tuned. Hi, everybody. Before we go to the second part of Dumb and Dumber, this duology that we have, I wanted to talk about what movie we wanted to do in the new year. What do we kick off 2015 with? And I just had a kind of startling revelation from Claire. We were talking about some movies, I mentioned that the new Ghostbusters movie's coming out, and she said that she basically has never seen Ghostbusters. So, Claire...
Never seen Ghostbusters.
Yeah, so tell everybody the one part that you remember that you told me.
All right. I know that there is a library.
Yes. And for those of you who know, and for those listeners who know the Ghostbusters movie, that's pretty early on. So
I also know that there's a Michelin man.
Oh, my God.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
And Bill Murray.
Sort of. Yeah. Oh, Bill Murray, definitely. Michelin man, sort of. Claire, do you want to... Oh my gosh. Do you want to predict what Ghostbusters is about?
All right. Okay. So, Bill Murray is a librarian where 99% of this movie takes place.
Yes.
In his library.
In his library. Yes.
And it
Bill
turns
Murray's
out
the page master.
That, the Bill Murray and his friends fight the Michelin man.
Okay.
It's kind of like Power Rangers, you know, when they all join together to make that big guy at the end.
Yeah, the Megazord.
Yes.
To fight the giant Michelin man.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, that I'm so excited. And your New Year's resolution, guys, is to watch Ghostbusters if you haven't seen it, like Claire, because that's Claire's resolution.
There are no ghosts in my prediction of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I just realized that, too. There's a living Michelin man monster and Peter, or Bill Murray, the librarian. Yeah. Peter's his character
name
in the
movie. It's a misdirected title.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a. I love that. I love when the title totally misleads me into believing what the movie's about.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's great. It. So get ready for that, and we'll see you next year. Okay, welcome back, everybody listening out there in the world. So we just saw Dumb and Dumber 2, and oh boy, I just, right off the bat, I did not like it. I really, really tried to give it a chance, and it was just, I couldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah, Claire, what did you think?
I agree. I was so... just not having it.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to like.
Yeah.
And like what I said last time was, I'm so glad this movie was funny.
Right.
Because it's not the typical kind of movie that I like.
Exactly.
And so this just didn't have that funny part to compensate for the being the movie that I don't like.
Exactly. It was in addition to being another road trip, they are on a road trip again. It also was all just terribly forced comedy and not funny bits.
Yeah.
And those first I'd say the first like 20 minutes or so, it's just the two of them. Like Harry's picking up Lloyd from the insane asylum, right, or whatever, wherever they are, the convalescent home. And there's like so many visual gags and weird gags up until they get to his parents' house,
right?
Where I was just this is not funny. I have not laughed yet.
Well, the thing that sucks about their choice to make Lloyd, not Harry, Lloyd, like, disappear for 20 years is that now they have to have exposition. You know, everything now has to be a discovery. Oh, this happened for the past 20 years. This has been the past 20 years. Instead of just, like, letting the audience discover that as they continue to live their lives in their world that they've been living.
Right.
So it's just this kind of semi-boring exposition of like, yep, here's everything that's sort of different, Harry or Lloyd.
Yeah.
You know?
And having Lloyd be the avatar for the audience is not fun because you have to normally like relate to that character. And it's just like, no, Jim Carrey, Lloyd's character, I feel like is even more despicable in this movie than he was in the first one.
Yes. They both are like totally despicable.
Yeah.
Everything about this movie was... I can't believe I'm saying this about a movie that follows a movie called Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
But everything is cheaper.
Yes.
It's like cheaper tricks, like taking weird stabs at people.
Yeah.
For
a movie called... I mean, I get what you're saying. For a movie called Dumb and Dumber, it's actually pretty... smart in a way. Like, nobody had really done anything like that before. I mean, there were, it was indicative of movies that were made at the time, but it was kind of, it kind of stood on its own. And this movie, done in the same style 20 years later, just, it feels forced. Mm-hmm. It, they're trying to do all the same beats. You can feel it.
Yeah.
But it, and you know where the comedy is. And I think that might have been my biggest problem with it, is that it was just so, it wasn't just bad for me. It was just like, it was like so painfully predictable. Mm-hmm. Every joke, I knew what was going to happen.
Right.
And the, when they, so they go to help Kathleen Turner, who's like this former girlfriend of Harry's. She has a daughter, and Harry is like, oh my gosh, there's my, it's my daughter. Like, I have to go meet her. And there's a couple jokes in there. That, Kathleen Turner's character works at a funeral home. And I was like, Jim Carrey's going to drink embalming fluid. Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
No way.
Yeah. It's not, and it's not carried out well.
Right.
It's not as they're drinking it. It's not like, it, it just like, it's the beats of a comedy, of a joke, of a good bit, but they do the beats wrong.
Right.
And they do it again. I knew this was coming, but they were like, oh, you know, Freda had a tattoo, a smiley face tattoo. And I was like, and they were like, show us the tattoo. And I said, before she lifted up her shirt, I was like, if that tattoo is now sad, if it's a sad frowny face, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to be so mad. And there it was.
Yep.
And yeah, so it was just painful and predictable.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple reasons why this movie doesn't work as well as the first one.
Okay.
Aside from the fact that everything was painful and predictable, and like when they're doing the same jokes, like of course there's a couple of those same jokes that you sort of want to see the really fun ones, like Harry cries and he does that choking thing, or like, you know,
yes,
the choking thing again, or gagging thing again. At one point he says, I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
Of course.
But at the, like when they were doing that, it was so obviously like a wink to the audience, like, hey, here's this thing you love from Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
It wasn't like just in it. It wasn't committed as fully, you know, in a way that is organic, which I hate saying, but you know, it wasn't as natural.
Right.
But I think that there's a couple of reasons why it really doesn't work.
Okay.
One is that we talked about this last time where the jokes, they're the butts of the joke.
Yes.
You know, the whole thing is about how stupid they are, or like how dumb they are. And I think in this one, they were stretching so other people become the butts of their joke. And
yeah.
And it's sometimes like malicious, and you were talking about that last time, feeling malicious too.
Right.
And it's sometimes like, I just think it's a really weak at other times. And you know, sometimes it's just like, why are you doing that? Like, why are Harry's parents Chinese immigrants? And like, they become a butt of a joke that feels really insensitive and weird.
Right. Like, how does he, it just raised so many questions. Right. And I, even by that point, I was just so mad that I could, I was like, ugh, it, I didn't even try to laugh. I didn't even realize that that was a joke.
Right.
Like Harry's parent, Harry and Lloyd go over to the parents' house. I did laugh a little at the bike ride. Like, it was a very short bike ride.
Yeah, that was
and
funny.
That was the whole trip. Mm-hmm. But then they open the door and their parents are, his parents are Asian. And for, like, it wasn't until they were leaving that I was like, oh, that's the joke. That's the joke, that Harry's parents are Asian. It didn't even register with me that it was supposed to be a funny moment.
Right, and it wasn't funny.
No, it wasn't funny.
I just feel like these guys are so, this happens in the first one too, but even further in this, they're so selectively dumb.
Yes.
Like, this is not something that for 55 years or however old Harry is, that goes unnoticed.
Right.
You know, and
exactly. Yeah, and it's, yeah, I think that's a problem too, is that they're so selective, and in the first one, it's a little more, it's a little easier to forgive, mm-hmm. but in this one, it's like, are you guys faking this, or are you guys, you know, do you guys know what you're doing, or is it just shoddy writing that their level of stupidity is so inconsistent,
mm-hmm.
That they manage to pull off certain cons that they're, you know, several times throughout the movie that they, Jim Carrey just manages to they do like the beer con, which is just gross, but to get a free beer at the convention, which is gross, but it's like that takes a level of intelligence
right.
that I didn't think they previously possessed. Yeah.
Yeah, even knowing what an Amber Alert is. He says that an Amber Alert, like, to get people's attention.
Right,
like,
right.
That is pretty witty. You know, yeah. That requires
right.
some intelligence.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It was kind of sad just watching it.
It is.
And all I could think, mostly what I could think of during that movie is what I thought during the trailer when I first saw it was just like, man, they just look old.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they could have still done it, but I don't know what it would have taken to like make a modern telling of this movie, but it just didn't work the way they decided to do it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if this movie can exist. If there is a way to do it well.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason, which you touched on in the last thing you were just saying, is that they're too old to be this stupid.
Right.
And we forgive them in the first movie because they're like these young, naive guys.
Sure.
Who are, you know, lighthearted and
right.
you're just like these young, sweet, stupid kids.
Right.
And like now, they're just ignorant.
Yes. They were probably 20-somethings in that movie, arguably didn't finish college, probably. They are dumb, you know, so they're uneducated and it's early in their lives.
Right.
But now it's like, you have some sort of life experience. Like, you can't stay at that level forever. That's just insane.
Yeah. It just comes off as like creepy and weird, sort of.
Yes. Yep.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately. I want to try and redeem it just a little bit. Not really, but did you have any moments that you did find funny? Were there any good moments?
There was one line that I did think was funny where, a couple things. One, when he is in the car with that first guy.
Yeah, the first twins. Guy
who gets, yeah.
He's like the car mechanic or something for the rich guy.
Right.
It doesn't matter. This whole plot is so irrelevant. Just like the first one, but more irrelevant.
Because it's so convoluted.
Right, yeah.
This plot, like, the last plot at least, was very simple.
And linear.
It makes sense. This one, they just tried to do everything.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, this wife that wants to poison her husband, and then also there's twins, when one is a cop, and then they have a TED Talk that's called a Ken Talk.
Yeah,
a
Ken Talk. Yeah, Ken. But there's, like, no stakes to it.
No stakes.
The brother that dies, that gets killed, is essentially replaced by the same character. It's played by Rob Riggle, who I normally love. That's the other thing, too, is, like, I love all these performers.
Yeah.
But in this movie, I was just like, I just couldn't believe it.
Right.
Like, Rob Riggle, I normally just love a lot in all the movies that he's in.
Moment is when Jim Carrey is, like, looking back at him and making all these faces.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? And Jim Carrey's like, I forgot.
That was a good one.
And that was a nice, like, natural, honest moment.
Yes, I did really like that one.
And I also think that, in a weird way, the daughter... I can't remember what the daughter's name is, but
Penny. Yeah.
Her jokes actually hit better than Lloyd and Harry's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's for the same reason that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
That it's like naive and like kind of
sweet.
She's
young.
And
yeah.
She's young and she's allowed to sort of be an idiot.
Right.
So she has some funny lines. I can't think of any on the spot. Oh, she said, instead of my biological father, she says my biographical father.
Yes, I like that
which I
one.
I thought was funny.
I did like that. He had that too. Jeff Daniels' character had that, and I don't recall him having that in the first movie. At one point, he says, we were encrusted to protect.
Right, yeah.
We were encrusted to deliver this to Penny, and it's like, encrusted. What are you? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, it's so funny. It just didn't work. For him, it works for Penny.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally believable. My one big laugh moment I enjoyed was they go on the road trip. They start going, and then they knock on the door, and they're back at at Freda's house where they started. And she's like, "It's the side with the stamp."
But you know what's funny?
I was like, "Oh my god!"
Is
great.
Speaking to your moment earlier, I totally knew that was going to happen.
They telegraphed it, and
I
knew.
Like, yep, I was like, "That's." That's the wrong one.
That's funny. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
And I honestly kind of zoned out during the montage. So, like, when they came to the house, I was like, oh, here we go.
Right.
And then it was her.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but I could see that.
Yeah.
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 It's just too bad. I think, too, like, we talked about it a little bit in the last segment, but like it's just been too long. Mm-hmm. I think comic sensibility has changed.
Right.
I think like a character like Penny works in an ensemble of like other kind of dysfunctional characters. Mm-hmm. So she's balanced out, but like just like Lloyd and Harry, like it's just they're too idiotic and too despicable, to be right. honest, to function in the reality that we want from our comedies anymore. Mm-hmm. Not that our comedies have to be realistic. It's just their absurdity doesn't work for us anymore.
Right.
So yeah. I just think it was like my dreading was not unjustified ultimately.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely. So. It's interesting because I feel like I know that comedy now, and I don't know how long this has been the case, but it has that intelligent edge to it,
mm-hmm.
where you expect at least the world to be somewhat intelligent.
Right.
And it's a lot of this witty kind of like talking heads, some people call it, where it's like two people standing and talking,
yeah.
but it's all about wit and charm. And that's the way that comedy has been headed. And I think that we, in our shows, and a good example that I can think of is Parks and Rec,
uh-huh.
where like it's an intelligent world,
yes.
and there's of course absurdity within it.
Right.
Everyone has their specialties, but the guy who,
Chris Pratt.
Pratt.
Yeah.
I was like, this something's not right in the way I'm saying this.
One letter
Chris,
off.
Chris Pratt.
Yes.
He's an idiot.
Right.
He's a totally lovable idiot.
Absolutely.
But we forgive him because he's in this intelligent world.
Exactly.
And, like, people recognize that something's off with him.
Yes.
Whereas, like, this, I think maybe they wanted to do that with the Ken talk.
I guess.
Like, putting them in this intelligent world to just show the stark contrast. But people aren't... Because there's no stakes, maybe?
I guess.
Or because they're so despicable?
Yeah. Or because they're also just dumb. Like, the people at the Ken talk, like, there's that part where they're like, I don't even know what the professor looks like, and he's looking through the crowd. It's like, how do you not know what that guy looks like?
I was thinking that, too.
In this day and age of internet and everything, you don't know what this professor looks like?
We know what Einstein looked like.
Right. You know? Like, yeah. Exactly.
There's no way.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I was just... It was just kind of boring and just painful.
Yeah. And so, also in that Ted or Ned talk.
Ken talk. Yeah.
Ted, Ned.
Who cares?
A girl goes on stage who's like running the whole event.
Yeah.
And they're like, show us your tits.
Right.
And it was like, since when are you guys those douchebags?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Dad.
We'll censor it? I don't know. Whoops. But they were. That was an awful moment.
Yeah.
And they were acting like that's an awful thing. And they were so proud of themselves for it.
And you're not going to get a laugh from an audience doing that.
No. Yeah. It was just an unfortunate and everything. I think everything they tried just didn't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's too bad. But, I mean, do you think, I'll end with this. Do you think it kind of tarnishes the reputation of the original at all? Like, or do you think that
Good
the original
question.
Still stands on its own?
I do think it stands on its own.
Okay.
And I think that it will continue to go forward in comedy movie world as a favorite from the 90s.
Yeah.
Because we had Dumb and Dumber-er.
Yeah, and I saw that.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't want to make you watch that, but...
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like I can preserve people... If I can preserve people from seeing that one... Then I feel like I will have accomplished something in this life. But
because
that one's pretty awful.
Yeah.
But it didn't tarnish my reputation with the first one.
Yeah.
So that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it does. That one is charming in a way that this one is not. And mm-hmm. I think it will maintain that little piece of positive.
Yeah.
Funny joy.
Yeah. I think it has an aura about it that is positive, ultimately.
Yeah.
And this one's just negative. I think it's ultimately negative. That's why I feel like it's weird.
Yeah, I agree.
It also ends... Again, on your point, I'm sorry, I keep dragging it out. But, like, on your point, it ends with them not knowing how sex works.
Right.
Like, that's their final... That's the final joke. That's the last punchline of the movie,
mm-hmm.
is... Kathleen Turner's character is like, why would you guys think that she's either of your daughters?
Right.
You guys never had sex with me.
Right.
And it's like, wait, they don't know how that works? What? Right. Do you, what?
Yeah.
It blew my mind. Yeah. And I was just mad.
Right. I do have one question. This is sort of like a sub. This is not that important. But so this girl is an idiot in the same way that the daughter is with Harry and Lloyd.
Right.
But then we find out, spoiler, everybody, go watch it if you don't want to
know.
Yeah. That she's neither of theirs.
Right.
So is she just, do we just forgive that she's just a total idiot raised by a brilliant scientist?
Exactly. So now she's just an idiot.
Right.
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Because all that was just to serve the misdirect at the end.
Right.
That she's neither of their daughters. Mm-hmm. I really thought about halfway, about where they discovered it, where Lloyd thinks it, I was like, oh, she's not Harry's daughter, she's Lloyd's daughter, because mm-hmm. the dark hair,
right,
she does the bush thing, the bush shove or whatever it is, and I was like, oh, she's Lloyd's daughter, that's mm-hmm. going to be the twist.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't even that, like, they pulled the rug out again.
Yeah.
And it was neither of them, and it was just like, wait, but so, okay, so she's just right. dumb. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's,
and
the
it speaks to your point
question.
That there's yeah
or that's the answer. Right. Yeah, she's just dumb.
And it speaks to your point that there's no stakes.
Right.
It's like, so we've gone on this journey and we don't care. The kidney isn't real and the daughter's not yours.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that's the other one. That was the other one. He faked the kid. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, everything just made me mad.
Yeah.
It was a frustrating movie to watch.
If you want
to
go on a 2-hour journey, that doesn't matter.
If you want to be on a journey that's frustrating and you don't want to involve your family, like you just want to, not a frustrating family road trip.
Right.
Just go watch this movie by yourself and you'll feel the same at the end.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
If you have the option of seeing it on an airplane, go with Terminator 2 again.
Yeah. Terminator 2.
That's which is a good movie.
Yeah, that is a good movie. I don't know why you picked...
I didn't either.
You could have picked Terminator Salvation, which is the bad one. But
I've never heard of Terminator Salvation in my life.
All right. Well, next week, we're watching Terminator Salvation. I'm just kidding. But that's it. That's Unseen Footage. That's Dumb and Dumber and Dumb and Dumber 2. Happy holidays,
happy
everyone.
Happy holidays.
Happy December.
Yeah.
We're going to see you in January.
Yes.
So, yeah. I'm David Armstrong.
Claire Yale.
And we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.